Morning Medics. This is Charles McFall here with One EMS at the GEMSA EMS Providers Conference. I'm here with John Looney. I bet you got a lot of grief for your last name growing up.
You just don't know.
I can imagine. I can imagine. How long have you been in the field, John?
39 years.
So you're just getting started?
Yeah, just
All right.
A baby.
I understand. Why do you come to conferences?
Not just for the education, but also to see the other people in the network. You know, you always learn more by meeting other people. I've taken back more from running into other medics and hearing their stories and things
right.
like that.
Right.
You know, I was at one class one time, and somebody brought a salt airway in, and I'd never seen one, but that wasn't the focus of the class that we were on. And I thought that was a cool thing, so I brought it back to our service, and we ended up saving somebody's life with one.
Wow. Nice. Nice. So that's definitely a good thing that you get out of it. What is something, how many of the GEMSA-sponsored conferences have you been to?
Oh, good Lord.
A lot of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, good.
I couldn't even count over the years now.
You know what? Since you've been going to so many, what kind of improvements have happened in this conference? I've only started coming for the last couple of years, so I have a very short history with the conference. What have you seen improve over the years?
They're a lot more polished, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah, they're a lot more polished than they used to be, you know, with technology, with the apps and everything like that.
Yeah, the app is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice, you know. Used to be just kind of a little mom and pop kind of thing, you know.
Well, like EMS was, right?
Yeah. And before, it seemed like everybody was here all about going out and partying and drinking more than
That's anything. What I heard for many, many years.
Yeah. And now it's more professional. Everybody's here about the education and everything like that.
That's good. That is good. What is something that could improve? What is something that's missing from this conference?
You know, there have been so many things. I'd like to see more vendors coming in for them because they need more support.
All right. Gotcha.
I think people getting more involved with the EMS and everything, they need more support than they're getting. That's for sure.
I get it. So out of 39 years, what's the biggest change you've seen in EMS?
Oh, good Lord. I think the biggest change has got to be the people.
Tell me more. What about the people?
Well, you know, I guess I would be considered the last of the baby boomer generation. I was born in 64, you know. And now there's a new generation coming up, and they're a lot different. They have different, I won't say morals, because the morals are still the same. But
values,
different.
Maybe?
At different values. There you go.
Yeah.
They've got different values and different things that they look for out of their job and everything like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's just a disconnect between the old generation versus the new generation. And that's where we've got to get better at making a crossover.
Have you seen
the old guard versus the new guard?
Right. You've had that experience there. Have you seen a steady decline in recruitment throughout the years?
Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you, I'm in a course now with Columbia Southern University.
Okay.
And decided to go back and work on my bachelor's degree. So I took a leadership course. And I did a paper on millennials and EMS, because the millennials are the biggest part of the workforce.
Sure.
And I read a study about the characteristics of millennials, and it opened my eyes. You know, I was manager of the ambulance service in Columbus at one point. And looking back, I can see now all of the things that they were saying were true about my staff, that I just had blinders on because I didn't realize, you know.
You just get used to things.
Yeah.
It's like being on the scene with a bad smell. You can either put Vaseline on and still hit the smell every time, or you just go and get used to it, and you don't realize there's a bad smell in the house.
Yeah, you know, recruitment-wise, you know, back in our day, you know, most EMS people will work two or three jobs. We're not afraid to work two or three jobs, okay?
Yeah.
But that's because we're baby boomers, okay?
Gotcha.
And we're used to that. Well, this paper, the study I read, said that the millennial generation won't do that. They prefer a more healthier work-life balance. And I was listening to Kelly Grayson, and you were talking about it. He said, how can you fault somebody like that?
Right. You know? You want to be healthy? Get out of here.
Yeah. How can you fault somebody like that? And this study also said the millennials have watched their parents growing up, leaving them alone while they work two or three jobs, and they're just not going to do it. So if we want a future, we're going to have to figure out how to make EMS not just a livable wage, but actually a thriving wage.
I agree. Man, I was watching Gary Vaynerchuk not that long ago.
Oh, he's a hero of mine.
Right, I love him. I love him to death. I don't agree with everything he says, but I think he's a great guy. But he was talking about how everybody's talking about this is the workforce that was never been. You know, they're just too lazy. They're not lazy. They just don't want to work our way.
Yeah.
They don't want to come in and have to work 60 hours a week because they know they can sell some stuff on eBay. They can do a hustle and drive Uber, and they can do a hustle and stream their video games. And they can build their life around what they want to do.
Right.
And he didn't say these words, but what I was hearing in between the lines was they live within their means.
Yeah.
This is maybe one of the first generations that isn't all hung up on credit cards and chasing the dream of the big house. And they're like, I just want to enjoy my life. And we got to find that balance. How do we find that balance?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I've been reading a lot. You know, we've got such a problem with Medicare reimbursement.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you can't tell me we can't fix our Medicare reimbursements. You look at these hospital CEOs making six figures a year. You can't tell me they don't have their Medicare reimbursements under control.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So there's no reason why we shouldn't have ours. You know what I mean?
I agree.
There's just some kind of disconnect going on up there. And so something has to happen. Something's got to give there so that we can get our wages within a more thrivable limit.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
We've got to start concentrating on getting our wages up and then start making it a we may have to change our staffing models. I saw that in there. They were talking about changing the staffing models, too. You know?
Yeah.
The 24-hour shift is becoming a dinosaur.
Yeah, and there's studies to show, depends on how busy you are, but the studies show that it's more dangerous to drive exhausted than it is to drive drunk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
definitely.
Then if you're talking about busy service in 24 hours, that can be really bad. Even a slower service if you're doing 2 or 3 calls in the middle of the night, you know.
The biggest thing we got to realize is this new generation coming up is, you know, the millennials are the workforce that we have right now, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not like the generation that was before them. So if we want to recruit, we're going to have to match their characteristics. And I think that's what we're missing here. We're not understanding that, you know, we're not offering them what they're wanting.
Yes. Yeah, I've definitely
Am I making
seen,
sense?
You are. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're not. And part of it is shaping expectations. And part of it on their side. And part of it is shaping our expectations and coming in the middle to meet them where they are. Because I don't have a problem with people wanting to work necessarily, you know, and the services I'm associated with, that they want the job, they want to work, but 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but you said, now this is scheduled dialysis transport, it's not 911, but he's like, they showed on the schedule, I'm supposed to get off at 4. I'm like, this is EMS, man. You might get off at 5. It's okay. If you worked at Best Buy or some fast food place, you might, and they're really busy, like, hey, can you stay an hour? That's all this is. And that's where I'm seeing the disconnect of is as soon as they start getting tired, like physically tired, on maybe their fourth day of working, they get really grumpy. And it's like, maybe you're not getting fulfilled. Maybe you're not getting what you need out of the job because you barely hit 42 hours this week and now you're wanting to quit.
If we, you know, I've had some of my staff before in Columbus that, although they were millennials, they were some of the most compassionate people you could possibly ask for. So
yeah,
compassion is there, okay?
Right.
The drive to want to help is there. One young lady called me just the other day. She's working for Grady now. I'm so proud of her. I can't stand it. Okay, and it's just a matter of finding that way to fit in with them and find something that fits with what they need.
I agree.
Something that's going to work because, like I said, our old way of doing things, you know, we're doing EMS the same way since 1972.
Right.
You know?
Right. What else in this world do we do the same way from 1970s?
Yeah.
Nothing. Right.
You know, and so we've got to find a new way of doing things if we want to keep moving forward in the future, in my opinion.
I agree.
Like I said, the studies I saw, I don't think I'm wrong.
So let me ask you, John. You started before we got sat down. You said, well, I'm not director or anything. It's like, you don't have to. You tell your story. You tell where you are in the world and in life. Because obviously in your career, you've been a non-director. You said you were a manager for a little bit. No matter where you were in your career, as a non-director or manager, right, you don't have the full control. How do you influence that change in your department?
Well, I'm working in two little small county ambulance services now. And one, we have a new director there. He's a wonderful guy. Absolutely wonderful. And every chance I get, I try to help him out whenever he asks for any kind of back, you know. Let's face it, 39 years, I'm kind of one of the older guys, you know, so they kind of ask.
Hey, you'll get there. You're not quite to the dinosaur range yet.
They kind of ask, hey, what do you think, you know, and all that. So, you know, I'm so shy about giving my opinion.
I bet.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I always try to give my opinions as tactfully and nicely as possible. I haven't always been that way, but I try to get involved whenever I can.
Sure.
I work within AMT as well and that kind of thing. So, you know.
So you're saying doing the work, being there when help was needed, giving an opinion, which indicates you're not having control of it. You're giving an idea. If they take it, they take it. If they don't, they don't. You're saying showing up is kind of how you
try
make
to be a
influence.
Good follower.
There you go.
May not be a good leader anymore, but I'll try to at least be a good follower.
The best leaders are the greatest followers.
Yeah.
You know, where they can see where it's going, and even if you can't see where it's going, just to trust in the person in front of you and keep going. So, before we start all this also, you said you've been learning about One EMS and talking to my partner, and what questions do you have about it? What intrigues you about One EMS?
I didn't know what it was that you guys were doing until your partner told me about catching all the interviews and everything and providing a voice.
And exactly.
I thought that was fascinating.
Well, good.
So it's like giving them, as I understand it, you guys are like giving a voice to the common people.
Exactly. I'll sit and talk with anybody. I try to take up the causes on everything. We're opening doors and getting connections to. Well, let me simplify it. I came up through the mid-90s, and nothing changed. It's the same thing of us versus them. What are they doing at the Capitol? Nobody would go to EMS Capitol Day. For a while, it wasn't even a thing. And then when they started, nobody wanted to connect. DPH was a them. The government was a them. Fire service was even a them, right? It's all this. And what we're trying to do is bring everybody together to say we don't have to agree. We just have to focus.
I have to tell you, I think this is one of the best ideas I've ever heard of.
Well, thank you.
You know, I think this is absolutely fascinating.
I love this table. It's a good coffee table. The reason I bring a table is to remind people, I'm sure you've done it many times, sitting around the smoker's table, you know, in the bay or outside the station. Well, even if you don't smoke, you're sitting there, and it's a lot of this crosstalk, and no change ever happens.
But you bring everybody to the table.
Yeah, literally. Trying to bring people to the table.
And it isn't until people hear everybody's voice. You know, we hear about, you know yourself, I trust you're a medic.
Yes.
Okay. You know, we've all sat in the ambulance and listened to these politicians talk about Medicare reform and Medicaid reform and everything like that. And we think, if they'd come down from their little ivory towers and get in the ambulance with us,
right,
we could show them where they need to have some reform.
Get one of those bells real quick.
Well, this seems, trust me, can break me if I'm wrong, but this seems to be the way for them to hear that kind of voice.
And that is one of the goals, and we've had some success with that. Because it's all about conversation. It's what we bring. It's never about an agenda. It's never about you're wrong and I'm right. It's about let's educate, let's talk. If you will listen, if you won't, we'll just keep talking. Somebody will listen. Because the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The cancer bill that came out in Georgia, I think about 10 years ago now, hit volunteer fire department. So the gist of it was, it's been proven, obviously, we knew it, it's been scientifically proven, that firefighters that go into burning buildings are more apt to get lung cancer from all the inhalation. So, thought we were going to do a good thing. Let's make departments pay for cancer insurance. And a lot of firefighters celebrated. It's a good thing. the way it was worded, the volunteer departments had to do it or they're going to lose their fire license. And a lot of volunteer departments work on $5,000 a year or less. And they're not even making ends meet, right? They're having to raise money. So we started talking about it live on air, and the senator that proposed the bill actually called in, and that was the gist, was I just didn't know. I went to this big department. He didn't say big department, but I went to this big department near me and went to this other one. Like, but that's the problem. Those departments have no problem putting that in the budget. Sure, that's just another line item thing. You didn't come out into Georgia. You went to the state of Atlanta, not the state of Georgia.
There's my boss there, though.
So, yes, but it was a good conversation, and that showed me, well, maybe we can affect some change just by talking. And the more we talk publicly, and that's coming full circle back to the next generation that's coming in, that's what they do all the time. They'd rather text instead of phone call.
Sure.
They'd rather watch a quick video instead of come to a meeting. And that's just where I'm trying to bridge the gap.
You know, that's the other thing. They talk about technology, but, you know, technology will never replace a good face-to-face conversation.
Yes.
And
yes.
Well, look. We got to go to class.
Yes, sir. I got to go, too.
And I got to say thank you for everything, sir.
Absolutely. Let me get you one of these cups, Sean, and thank you for being here.
Oh, yes, sir.